The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe and you think something pleasant is going to happen when you die, please think again. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life." Again, if you've just sort of believed at some stage and you think you can just carry on as before, you're going to get a nasty shock when you die. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today's message is on critical actions on first belief. So an overview of today's program. This broadcast examines what a person should do when they first come to belief, and also what one should do if one takes a really solid decision to energetically serve the Almighty, even if you've been believing for many years. We look at the 7 days of grace that apply on first belief and how to use them. New believers, and in fact all believers, are urged to immediately seek anointing. A 7-day water-only fast is recommended, and all believers are urged to worship daily. All believers are urged to shave their bodies except head and eyebrows as a once-off rite. Believers are urged to anoint with the blood of the covenant and also with the oil of the Spirit. Triple immersion is strongly recommended and also a spiritual audit. New believers are urged to immediately read anointed books and start praying earnestly. New believers are urged to seek ministry and counsel where possible. This completes the discussion of critical actions on first belief. And as a filler, I have a discussion of what happens if Satan wins the contest. Finally, we will examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It is the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books, and recently a video as well. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Go to the show and podcast for previous broadcasts. See also at the top of the menu on the website, the video on relationship with the Almighty. It's a very important message, and I'd encourage you to go and watch that video. Questions from last week's program. Are you saying we have no privacy at all and he watches everything all the time? Absolutely, he's everywhere. He knows exactly what you do, wherever you do it. And furthermore, those with power and authority in heaven can also see you wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if they focus on you. So just because your parents are dead doesn't mean that they don't know what you're doing. In fact, if your parents are dead and they died as committed believers, they have a much better sight of what you're up to than they had when they were alive. Kali asked, would you have been strange out if he would have spoken to you at a weird time? I think, Kali, when a voice, an audible voice speaks to you from just thin air, it'll get your attention no matter what time of day it is, no matter what your state of mind. Question number 3, how do we know what is correct since there is so much out there? Huge problem. The answer to that is to get close to Father. You can turn to my website with a reasonable amount of confidence. I testify that Father has said that it's largely accurate, although some of the older teachings are not as accurate as the most recent. But the answer is to fast and pray and get close to Father so he can show you what's correct. Ben asks, why were you going to have to live without your mistress? Could you not just leave your wife? Ben, my family persuaded me to stay with my wife for the sake of the children, and I then realized that I was desperately in love with my mistress, but I'd burnt the bridges by that stage, and that's why I was so desperate. Questions from last week's program. How many routes are there to travel up the mountain to the Almighty? There are as many routes as there are people climbing the mountain. Every person climbs the mountain by their individual route. There are routes which are sort of more common, or broadly more common, than others because of different religious groupings, but ultimately each one of us climbs the mountain individually. Remember, the mountain is a metaphor. There's no physical mountain. It's just describing that it's difficult to get close to the Almighty, and it takes perseverance and effort, and you've got to learn a lot and learn a lot of truths and put a lot of effort into it. Question number 6, are you saying we go to pay a price in hell and then get to heaven when the price is paid? Yes, with the caveat. I'm saying if you confess your sins and repent of your sins and turn around in this life, you will go straight to heaven and will not go to hell. If you do not confess your sins, if you do not repent, then to the extent that you have unconfessed and unrepented sin, when you die, you will go to hell to pay the price for that sin, and then you will get to heaven. Francis asked, did you say you were not going to be here with us next week? Question number 8, what was that you said about next time? Did you say something about the next show? Question number 9, yes, I did. I made a really foolish business decision a few months ago. I didn't consult Father. I made the decision without getting on my knees and checking it out with him. And I lost a large sum of money. And last week, I didn't have enough money to pay for the continuation of the broadcast. In the meantime, a friend has given me a gift, and so I'm able to keep on with the broadcast. Right. Today, we're going to talk about critical actions on first belief. And I'm talking about this as an elaboration on what I spoke on the last 2 weeks in the video on seeking relationship with the Almighty Creator. And one of the things that I said in the video is if you come to belief for the first time, it's important that you apply all the steps that are in the article and the web page, critical actions on first belief. So the following critical actions should be taken by any person who first comes to belief. This will lay a foundation for a powerful life in relationship with the Almighty Creator. Refer to the article 7 components in growing close to YAH on the website near the bottom of the main menu for details for each of these points. These same procedures can be applied at any time. However, they are particularly effective when applied immediately after a person comes to belief. Now, you may listen to what I'm going to talk about for the next half hour and think it's crazy and weird and what have you. The thing to realize is that the spirit realm is heavily driven by metaphor and symbolic acts. So you're speaking to the spirit. When you do the things that I'm going to talk about now, you're doing those things to send a message to the demonic and satanic realm, particularly to the demonic realm. And it's really important to understand that. And if people say, well, Jesus didn't do that and this didn't do that, folks, this is not 2,000 years ago. This is now the year 2020, and this generation is more evil than any generation in the past. There are way more demons on the planet today than there were in the time of Yeshua 2,000 years ago. It's not the same. It's a whole lot more onerous. It's a whole lot more difficult. It's a whole lot more horrible. So 7 days of grace. There are 7 days of grace from the moment of first belief, during which there is extreme grace for forgiveness, healing, deliverance, learning, etc. Wherever possible, a new believer should be supported to apply all the processes and components discussed tonight during this period. That opportunity will never be given to that person again. If you're already a believer and you didn't have the opportunity to do what I'm talking about, I encourage you to follow the same process or as much of it as possible at your earliest opportunity. I want to stress to you, folks, this is not a step-by-step, paint-by-numbers, have to do it this way. This is a collection of processes and procedures which you should try and apply in your life if you haven't already done them, as best you can, as quickly as you can. And it depends how committed you are, how serious you are, how far you go with these. I've done everything that I'm going to talk to you about now at least once. Most of it I've done many times. It's really, really important. If you want to get close to Father, you need to clean up your act. So, the minute you become a believer, you should immediately seek anointing. And if you are listening to me as a believer and you have never been filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, or you're not sure if you've been filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, then I encourage you right away now, pretty much as I pray in a moment, to ask Father to fill you with His Spirit immediately pray for infilling with the Spirit of Yah. Pray daily thereafter for infilling. This is the anointing of the Spirit. It's nothing strange or whatever. You just say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Pour out the fire of your Spirit. Burn out the dross. Burn up the chaff. Cleanse me. Give me wisdom and understanding. Help me to draw close to you. Help me to be led by your Spirit in every possible way, every second of every day. And there's a whole lot more prayers if you go into the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close, and if you go to the prayer pages on the website, there are a whole lot of prayers that you can pray. And then in addition to seeking anointing, you need to worship. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So the next piece here is, if you come to belief, I strongly, strongly recommend that you immediately embark on a seven-day water-only fast to correspond to the 7 days of grace. What does that look like? It means that you drink plenty of water, you don't ration the water, and you eat no solid food. If you have if you have to take medication once, twice, three times a day, and you can't take that medication on an empty stomach, don't take medication on an empty stomach. It's not good for you. Take a bit of preferably unleavened bread or wheat biscuit, and a glass of or partial glass of red wine or red grape juice, and take communion. Whenever you need to get some food in to take your medication, only take small amounts and pray appropriately. The bread and wine is symbolic of Yeshua's covenant with Yah, which was made to help deliver mankind from their sin, etc. And basically, what you would do is, when you take the bread and wine, you say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I remember that when he was on the night that he died, Yeshua took the bread and broke it and gave it to those who followed him and said, take ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me. Then take the cup of grape juice or red wine. And it's important that it's red because it's symbolic of the blood. So, Father, I recall that on the night that he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup and gave it to his followers and said, drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And then go on and pray whatever comes to mind. Father, I ask you to help me to draw close to you. I ask you to show me what I need to know. I ask you to bring people into my life, take people out of my life. As many things as you can think to pray for, pray that when you take the bread and wine, because it is a covenant act. It's an act of contract with Father. It's an act of submission to Father. It's an act of trust in Father. And if you do that day, morning and evening, or even if you take tablets more frequently than that, more frequently during the day, don't take huge amounts of bread and huge amounts of grape juice, just sufficient to line your stomach so you can take your medication. You're not trying to feed yourself, you're just trying to protect your stomach. And then worship daily. Folks, particularly in the early stages of your walk with Father as a new believer, or if you're an established believer but you have now taken a decision to get much closer to Father, then I encourage you to worship daily. Use the songs on the recommended worship page on the website and email me for further songs that are suitable. Folks, there are a huge number of songs which are just not to be used at all. You are not to worship Yeshua, Jesus. You're not to sing about your feel-good feelings and what have you. You are to worship the Almighty Creator. Tell him how much you love him. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit, etc., etc., etc. Somebody asked me the other day about Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace is a lovely song, but it's worshiping Yeshua. Don't sing it. There's a song, Jesus, Do You Know How Much I Love You? Lovely music, sounds great, lovely rhythm, horrible song. It's blasphemous. It's an insult to Father. Yeshua doesn't like it because it's completely wrong. And anyway, he knows. And the fact that you're singing the song tells him you really don't love him because you're told to worship Yah, not to worship Yeshua. And so it goes. The songs on the recommended worship page on the website have been edited to remove wrong doctrine. And there's on the same page is a whole lot of guidance in terms of correcting words that I'm unable to correct. And if you want more songs, you can email me. I've recently added a few songs to the collection that are not on the website at this stage. Then this is probably the most radical piece of what I'm going to talk to you about. Shave your entire body except the head and the eyebrows. And do that on the first day, the seventh day, and the eighth day after coming to belief, or of the seven-day fast. Pay particular attention to symbolically shaving tattoos and piercings. What you are doing here is dislodging demons. You are making it very difficult for the demons to stick to you. If you really want to go for it and you're a man, shave your head as well. If you're a woman, never shave your head. Don't shave your eyebrows because nobody's going to understand it. People won't really understand it when you shave your head. They thought I was absolutely crazy when I did that. I've done it once. I did the complete body shave. The thing is, you pray, and if you look at the document on seven components, drawing close, you pray as you shave, Father, I ask you to cleanse me and cut away all spiritual contamination, all defilement, all spiritual dirt, because you get all sorts of demonic stuff that just gets laid onto you when you're an unbeliever or a nominal believer, and you need to get rid of it. And the only way you're going to get rid of it is to basically take a knife and cut it away, and that's what you're doing. So you might shave with an electric razor to get most of the hair away, but you want to use a safety razor and shaving foam and shave your entire body, especially if you've been a bit promiscuous or whatever sexually. Then you really need to clean up your genitals in a serious fashion. As I say, if you're not 100% committed to this, don't shave your head if you're a man. If you are 100% committed to it, shave your head as well. Full body anointing with the blood of the covenant. I said a few minutes ago that the grape juice or the red wine represents the blood of the covenant. And so full body anointing with the blood of the covenant, the red wine or red grape juice, prayed over to symbolically represent the blood of the covenant on the first, seventh, and eighth day after coming to belief or of the fast. Now, again, this is something where religious people are going to tell you you're crazy. They're going to tell you I'm crazy. I don't care. It works. I've done this, I don't know, 10 times in my life at least, over a period of years, and I will probably do it again in the next few years. Basically, what you do is you take a plastic cup of red grape juice, you get in the shower, put a towel down in the shower, and you pray, Father, I ask that this cup will represent the blood of the covenant. And then you pray, and the detailed prayers in the seven components document, and you pour it over your head and you rub it into your hair if you've got any hair left, if you haven't already shaved, which is what I would recommend for a man. And you smear it in everywhere, you smear it into your mouth, and you constantly pray, Father, I ask you to cleanse me of all defilement. And there's something about the blood of the covenant that the demons hate. So again, this is about getting rid of the demons. It's about cleansing yourself. It's about just really getting serious with Father. And then full body anointing with the oil of the Spirit. So there's a lot of prophetic word which speaks about the anointing of the Spirit of Yah being represented by anointing oil. So full body anointing with the oil of the Spirit, oil, olive oil prayed over to symbolically represent the anointing of the Spirit of the Creator, again on the first, seventh, and eighth day after coming to belief or of the fast. Now, please understand, if you can't do the first and the seventh and the eighth days exactly, it's not the end of the world. Do the best you can. Rather do it and don't get every single piece right than not do it because you're waiting for an opportunity to do everything right. Just go for it. Father is forgiving. He appreciates people who take the trouble to go to these sort of extreme lengths. And please understand, folks, I'm talking about this. I'm talking to you as somebody who I'm hoping by now is seriously committed to getting to a deep personal relationship with Father. And I'm going to suggest for your consideration that if you really want to get to a deep personal relationship with Father, you need to do all the stuff that I'm talking about today. It's not a case of it's not negotiable. It's just going to make it a whole lot easier. It's going to send a very strong message to the satanic and demonic realm that that's the way you go. So you get a plastic cup of olive oil, again in the shower, on a towel. It's towel especially here because otherwise you're going to slip and slide and hurt yourself. And you pray over that oil and say, Father, I pray that this oil will represent the anointing oil of your Spirit. And then you work it into your hair, you rub it into your ears, into your mouth, on your tongue, all over with the blood of the covenant and with the oil, especially attention to your genitals. If you're a pure person and you've only ever had sex with your significant other, what I'm saying is not relevant. But if you've been at the least bit promiscuous and had a number of sexual partners, you need to deal with this in a serious fashion and ask to be filled with the Spirit as you pray. Father, as I pour this oil on my head, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. And you can do this many times. I once was at a prayer meeting and somebody handed out a little vial of oil and everybody put a dab of oil on their foreheads. And when they'd gone around the room, I said, does anybody else want any more oil? And they said, no. So I took the whole bottle and I poured it on my head in front of a whole lot of people. I'm sure they thought I was crazy, but I had an experience of the Spirit of Yah falling on me when I did that. In full body triple immersion, you might know it as baptism, important to understand the word that is translated baptize in the New Testament, most Bibles, is actually immerse in a body of clean water. And it occurs something like 20 times in Leviticus, where we're commanded to immerse in a body of clean water if we've been contaminated in any way. So when a woman completes her menstrual cycle, she should immerse in a body of clean water. That's all it is. It's not something fancy. It's just go and take a bath. And if you do it three times, you pray, Father, I ask for cleansing. Father, I ask you to lead me into covenant with you. And Father, I ask you to let me into your kingdom. And you do it three times, again, first, seventh, and eighth days after coming to belief or of the fast. Very powerful. The first time that I did this with a group of three friends, we went in the swimming pool. The first time we went under the water, a massive demonic sphinx flew off the property. The third time we went under the water, Yeshua, Jesus, walked down the steps with his out into the swimming pool with his arms outstretched towards us. So it's really, really powerful stuff. Then do a spiritual audit. Undertake a comprehensive spiritual audit and pray appropriate prayers. Folks, what this looks like is you get yourself in a comfy chair or at your desk and you get a big pad of paper or a notebook, preferably A4 or letter-sized paper, and you go through and you put a year on the top of each page. So you have a page for every year of your life, including the year that you were in the womb, the 9 months that you were in the womb. And you go back and you say, Father, show me all sin. Father, show me all people I've wronged. Father, show me all people who've wronged me. And again, if you go to the article on 7 components of drawing close, you'll find a more detailed discussion of this. And you go through, and as you go, Father, I ask you to forgive me for this sin. Father, I ask you to forgive me for this sin. I thank you in the name of Yeshua that you forgive me. And when you get right to the end and you've gone all the way through it, you take communion, take the bread and wine, and you say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, as I take the bread and wine, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, all the sins that I've confessed. And I ask you to make me brand new. I ask you to give me a new start. And there's a whole detailed prayer there that you can pray on that score. So really, really important. And you need to do that more than once. Once you start looking back on your life and looking at your sin, you're probably going to do what I've just talked about 3, 4, 5 times. You're going to find over the years, once you're sensitized to this, something will trigger a remembrance of an event. Just quickly say, Father, I ask you to forgive me for what I did that day or whatever. Also remember restitution. If you've stolen stuff, Father's going to expect you to return what you stole and go and own up and apologize to the people you stole it from. He might ask you to return more than you stole, make good the loss. You might need to go and apologize to people for things that you've done, all sorts of things. The woman that I committed adultery with, the Almighty told me to go and speak to her husband and apologize for what I'd done. Not an easy thing to do for me or for him. Then read anointed books and pray and pray and pray. Spend the rest of the week reading anointed books and praying appropriately. See the Important Information webpage for a whole list of books and articles that I recommend. Also, my books are available on the Compilation of Most Writings page. Particularly read the whole of Volume 1, most important, and then read Volume 0, which is transcripts of this radio program for about a year. Now, don't get stuck on reading the Bible. By all means, read the Bible once, but there are more important things to read in that first week. And if you've been a believer for some years and you're doing the 7-day fast, same applies. Try and take 7 days leave from work and read as much as you can. My books are written under a fair level of anointing with a fair level of inspiration, particularly the Volume 1 and Volume 0. And so I commend them to you. Father has said that they are a very important collection of writings. You'll learn a very substantial amount from those writings. And just pray, 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 pray. Get on your knees. The first year or two after I came back to Father, I would get on my knees for an hour in the morning and an hour at night. And I would read for another hour at least, morning and evening. So I was getting up at 5 o'clock so that I could read and pray in a serious fashion. And I commend that to you. Then receive ministry and counsel from anointed believers if they're available, and do whatever else you find to do. So firstly, I really want to make the point, you are very, very welcome to email me, and we can then set up communication. We can get on Zoom or Skype or on the phone. We can communicate by emails. We can communicate by WhatsApp. And I will give you as much support and counsel as I possibly can to help you get established on this journey. By all means, if you know other believers, go to them, but be aware of the fact that the vast majority of believers are in serious error, and a lot of people who think they're believers actually aren't, because they're in so much error that they don't know the name of the Almighty, and so on and so forth. And they're actually unbelievers because they've never entered into a deep personal relationship. There are not many people doing what I'm suggesting that you should do. So you need to be selective in who you go to for counsel. You're probably going to have to figure this out on your own with a bit of support from me. And that's fine. That's what I did. Most of the support that I received over the years led me down the wrong path. And it was only in 2001, after I'd been on 9 3-day fasts and really, really started searching deeply and stopped going to church and stopped relying on others to teach me, that I really started to learn and get close to Father. So you can start today to get close to Father, just understand there are not very many human beings out there who share that objective and who can help you to get close. It's sad, it's tragic, it's difficult. That's the way it is. So in conclusion, a prayer. If after listening to this, you've decided to turn intensely to serve the Almighty, I suggest you pray something like the following. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yahshua. I choose now to seek a much deeper relationship with you and to put all that we have discussed on this program into practice. I ask you to show me what to do and what to read and who to talk to in order to draw close to you. I commit to making a real effort to draw close to you. Amen. You then have lots of work to do. See the webpage on prayer for a large collection of very important and very effective prayers. See also some important facts at the end of the video program. In particular, download the PDF form of the article, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, from the page of that name, close to the bottom of the main menu, and put everything there into practice in line with what you've heard on the program today. This is all also available as a series of podcasts. I did about 6 or 7 broadcasts on the seven components of drawing close to the Creator about 6 months ago. If you go to www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, follow the links that I gave you earlier, and you will find the recordings there if you prefer audio. The audio and the transcripts are also available on the website. So, folks, I really hope that if you've been sitting on the fence in terms of seeking a close relationship to Father, that the last 2 weeks' program and today has really encouraged you to go for it. And that's it. We've got a bit of time, so I'm going to carry on with a bit of a filler, and I'm going to go through a teaching that's on the website, which is What If Satan Wins the Contest? The fundamental aim of the contest is to see whether there is a believing man or woman who is a descendant of Adam, who is alive on the last day of the 7,000 years of creation, who's in a legal position, free of sin and error in the court of heaven, to call on Yahshua to return to the earth and bring judgment. If there is not such a believer, Satan will come before the throne of Yah and claim victory because he, Satan, has proved that Yah was unable to create human beings such that after 7,000 years, not even a single person was in right standing with Yah. At this point, Yah will admit defeat, and Satan will reign on earth for eternity together with all those who were unbelievers, both those that are alive at that point and those who have died before then and continue to exist on earth as ancestor spirits or demons. I do not want to think about what life on earth will be like with Satan officially ruling and Yah completely withdrawn from the earth. Folks, I've spoken about this several times in the last while. And it just bears thinking about. My goal in life is to lay a foundation such that there are millions of friends and billions of committed believers on earth at the end of the millennium. That's in 983 years from now, roughly speaking. And I would love you to help me to meet that objective. I would love you to make a deep personal commitment right now to serve Father and do all the things that I've spoken about in the last half hour and just really go all out to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. Folks, there's such a huge opportunity. Don't miss it. To better understand what happens when Satan truly reigns, consider Africa south of the Sahara or the Indians of the Amazon jungle a few hundred years ago, who sunk totally into Satanism and witchcraft and lost all vestige of civilization while sinking to the level of barbaric murder and wholesale slaughter coupled to subsistence existence. Think about hedge shrinkers, etc. All these people originated from Noah, the same as you and I did, but those who have most actively served Satan sank into the greatest depravity and physical and mental deterioration. The same can be seen in terms of relative degradation of peoples to primitive forms in North America, Australia, etc. Wherever people forsake the Creator totally, they sink into primitive, barbaric existence. may take a few generations, but they get there. Satan has no creative or healing power, and therefore people who serve Satan degrade. If you look at closely at high-end and mid-order Satanists, witches, and other satanic servants, human beings, you will see there is a sallow lifelessness about their faces. They have generally engaged in measures such as weird haircuts, tattoos, piercings, etc., to show their allegiance, and their eyes are dull or show a sharp aggression because of the demons looking out of them. Consideration of their physical state indicates that their service of Satan is bringing about progressive deterioration. Folks, this is the reality. Every human being on this planet descended from Adam. Every single human being on this planet descended from Noah. Why are there such disparities in wealth, disparities in intellect, disparities in invention, etc., etc.? It's those who have served Yah to some extent have performed better than those who have served Satan wholeheartedly. Contrast this to the health of what I've just said. Contrast this to the health and life that one sees in true believers through the healing power of the Spirit of the Creator. This degradation was also happening in Europe during the Dark Ages, when the quality of life, technology, etc., degraded into barbarism as people forsook the Creator. With the Reformation and the resurgence of belief in the Creator and relationship with Him, Europe turned around and led a global revival, the fruits of which we still enjoy today. The same revival is impacting Africa and other places where extreme degradation due to Satan's service had taken place. With the increasing abandonment of recognition of the Creator, particularly in the USA, banning the Bible, prayer, and the name of the Creator from schools, etc., we will see increasing degradation in the centuries ahead. All of this points us to what will happen on earth if Satan wins the contest. This possibility should be enough to motivate anyone to seek Yah urgently. If you think it might be not so bad to serve Satan after Yah withdraws, remember that in Yah we live and move and have our being. The Spirit of Yah holds us together, the universal Spirit of Yah, holds the earth together and the solar system and the universe. Yah states that in the event that Satan does win the contest, Yah will summarily remove himself from planet Earth and any other location where there are live human beings, and as a consequence, all life will die out and the Earth will become a sterile desert in the worst sense of the word, populated with several hundred billion demons who no longer have humans or animals to ride on. The vast majority of demons will therefore spend eternity stuck in the location where their host died, only able to communicate with other demons within shouting distance. The only exception will be the masterminds and other senior demons who will have satanic messengers to ride on, and even there, their authority will be limited. And it is probable that things will degenerate to a point where the different masterminds and their followers are fighting with one another since they have nothing else to do and only know strife and hatred. If you really get a sense of the utter futility of this existence, it's my prayer that you will repent and turn to actively seeking, to actively serving Yah from now on. So, folks, it's so important to grasp that you have big choices to make. I've spoken quite a few times now over the last few months on this thing of, if you're a really committed believer, you can qualify for a high throne. In fact, it's been part of my message for the last 2 years. It's on the cover of my books. It's in the opening words of my broadcast every day. Folks, this world is such a mess. And you can either let it degenerate into a bigger and bigger mess with Satan ruling, or you can help to turn it around. And I ask you, please, to help turn it around. So I want to check in with you now and ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? In closing, I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If you can't answer yes to all of those 5 points, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I want to stress to you, it does not matter who you are. It does not matter your race, your creed, your tribe, your religion, your denomination, your age, your gender, your wealth or lack of wealth, your education or lack of education. Father wants you to become His friend. He will meet you where you come to meet Him. He will meet you with your level of education and wealth and so forth, and race and all of that stuff. If you choose, He will meet you. And forget all the stuff about the color of your eyes and the color of your hair and all of that as well, please. It is so important for you personally, the person that I am talking to right now, to realize that it is totally available to you to become a friend of the Almighty. Just go for it. So in wrapping up, 5 key documents on the main webpage, plus the video at the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship. It's marked as most important. That's the most important message I've ever created. The director desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's one word, endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or to give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly useful. It's in the right-hand sidebar, a little bit of the way down the right-hand sidebar, so it's not necessarily immediately evident, but that gives you full Google search capability on the entire website. So very useful if you're looking for information on a particular topic. The rest of it, the keyword cloud, will also help you in a more direct way. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory, at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, for me, there are two key pieces here. The one is, I aspire to be Father's friend, I aspire to lead others to him, and I aspire to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. Over and above that, I aspire to bring others to this way of thinking in such a way that many, many more people will climb the mountain successfully, right to the top, become friends of Yah, become powerful advocates, become powerful prayer warriors, and turn the situation around. You can help me, and I ask you to help me. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. Good day. Father, I